is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second Randox Health Grand National.
Desert Orchid, watch history being made. Roars of applause. The king's in his county.
Heading down towards the last ride in the champion hurdle, and it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. This year she jumped it perfectly.
Hello and welcome along to another tipping edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We've given Paddy the weekend off, but we're joined as ever by Mr. Frank Hickey. Frank, how are you?
I'm okay, Tom, yourself?
I'm very, very well. I could be almost flying it. We'll see how we get on through the show. I'm looking for a few big price horses for the weekend. And Ruby Walsh is with us as well. Ruby, all good?
All good, Tom, yourself?
Well, as I previously outlined, Ruby, flying it. We've got lots to get through, lads. So much racing. We're even going to take a look at some of today's racing for those early birds who want to catch the worm. Frank, in a word, the Cumberland Lodge.
The Jason will probably win. You wouldn't be backing him at that price, though.
You wouldn't be backing him at that price. York 135, of course, is the Cumberland Lodge. Ruby, I assume you're thinking something similar?
I am, most definitely.
Righto. Well, that moves us on to Newmarket. It is a huge weekend at Newmarket. 3 o'clock is the Challenge Stakes Group 2. Frank, what do you like here?
It's a very trappy race. I think it's hard to have much confidence in anything. I just that the prices take a small chance on Snazzy Jazzy with the first time pieces applied. He does handle the testing ground quite well. It's soft there at the moment. There are some showers forecast. If it got any worse, it definitely would inconvenience him. He ran okay earlier in the year. He was fourth behind Space Blues. Safe Voyage was ahead of him, and Happy Power was just ahead of him, who reopposes today. Just the prices, I'd have a small bit each way in him, but I wouldn't be very confident in this race. I think it's very trappy.
Ruby, anything for you in the Challenge Stakes?
I think with the 8 runners, Tom, I think Happy Power could be a bit of a freebie at 4-1. Obviously beat Toro Strike on his last start in Goodwood. Before that, he beat Anna Nerium at Salisbury. If you go back to the start of the year, he was third to Splays Blues at Haydock. I think he's a pretty decent horse in 4-1. Each way isn't a bad price.
3:35 at Newmarket on Friday afternoon. As we record, it is the Filly's Mile, and the top of the market is dominated by the O'Brien brothers, Shale and Pretty Gorgeous. Ruby, we'll start with you. Can you see any of the others getting involved, or is it between the top two?
I think it's between the top two, Tom, and it all depends on exactly how the ground is riding. I didn't see Newmarket yesterday. I was working in Thurles, but Pretty Gorgeous, if it's soft, will be Shale. If the ground dries up, Shale will be Pretty Gorgeous.
Frank, our friend of the show, Clive Cox's Isabella Giles in there as well. What did you make of the Filly's Mile?
I thought it was a very good race, actually. Indigo Girl has been very impressive on both her starts at Yarmouth, when she was good on the clock. And the last day at Doncaster. I'm saying that I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bigger queen reversed. She was a bit keen, trapped wide at Doncaster in the Mayhill Stakes, and she was beaten less than two lengths. I thought she stuck it out relatively well, considering she'd go off 6-5. But basically, I'd echo what Ruby said. It's onto the ground. The ground is soft there at the moment. If you look at it, Shale's 2-1 up and Pretty Gorgeous. The twice she'd be Pretty Gorgeous, it was good ground or faster. And the time she got beaten was through the soft ground. And the day it was soft ground, Pretty Gorgeous did look a bit of a monster. I think she's probably the one to beat on this ground, yeah.
3:15, Chepstow is the Persian War over two and an extended 3 furlongs. McFabulous tops the market 4-6 and 6-1 bar. Ruby, it's kind of one of the races that kind of signifies the start of the jump season proper. Can you see anything other than McFabulous winning the Persian War?
He's pretty tight. Entitled to be fair, but Tom, probably not. Can I see it now beating him? No, I can't really. Obviously, this used to be a one-day fixture. It's now a two-day fixture. The Persian War used to be on tomorrow's card, which is a cracking card in Chepstow as well. But it probably is McFabulous is to lose. Simple as.
Frank, anything at a price that could give the favourite a fright?
No, I think he could potentially be a stairs hurdle horse. Yeah, I like him. You know, things didn't work out for him initially over hurdles last year, but he definitely improved for stepping up to 2.5 miles. And yeah, 2-3.5 furlongs going to suit him on decent ground. And yeah, I would be surprised if you end up seeing him as Stairs Hurdle at the end of the season.
Lovely stuff. That's Friday in a nutshell. Before we move on to Saturday, Ruby, kind of the start of the jump season, what's going through a lot of jockeys' heads? Are they kind of trying to calculate their big horses for the year, making plans, trying to get the foot in the door with new trainers and things like that? Is it a stressful time, or is it just we reset and kind of get excited for the year ahead again?
No, what's going to be is going to be at this stage, Tom. If you're trying to get your foot in the door or make changes or move, they tend to have been done at the end of last season, early in the summer. It's too hard to get your foot in the door now in yards. I often hear people saying to me, oh, I'm thinking of moving to England. If you're Irish jockeys, if they're thinking of going, they have to be there when the summer jumping starts. All these trainers have summer jumpers. They're the horses you have to start getting on so you can build a reputation for the winter. Now it is what it is. I mean, people are going to say, oh yeah, Robert Power only went last week. But Robert Power rode all the Tizard horses last year and the year before anyway. So he's only going back to take up the job he has. He's obviously had to move there on a full-time basis. But now people pretty much know what's what, what's going where. Decisions have been made as to what hurdlers are going chasing, what horses are going to stay hurdling. It's only seeing if the dreams can turn into reality now, Tom.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples, all UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Onwards we go. York, Saturday, 1 o'clock. It is the Bengo Stakes, a Group 3. No market yet, Frank. Possibly a disappointing-ish field. Ratings would be topped by the Tin Man and Summer Canned. What did you like here?
Yeah, the Tin Man and Brando haven't really been at it this season, and I'd be wanting to take them on. Summer Canned has been running relatively well, but Dakota Gold likes York. He was second to Starman here two starts ago. I think Starman's a horse going place. I think he's going to be a Group 1 winner next season. There was over four lengths back to the third water on that day. And in his three previous runs at York prior to that, he'd won them all. I think he just shaved like 5 furlongs on fast ground or on decent ground at Doncaster. Just caught him out a little bit. Back up to 6 and easy ground at York. I think he's the one to beat. He's definitely the most reliable of them anyway.
2 o'clock York. It is the Rockingham Stakes over 6 and Legal Attack tops the betting 3-1. 7-2 Light Refrain. 9-2 Black Rod alongside Regional. 11-2 Ben McDye. And 13-2 and Bigger the Rest. Ruby, we'll start with you. What did you like here?
I like Black Rod, Tom. I thought it won really well in its last start when it beat Out the Hat. Out the Hat is now rated 87. If you're even looking further down, Light Refrain is rated 87. Black Rod has an official rating of 88, but the horse he beat is now rated 88. So I think you can mark up Black Rod, and I think Black Rod is the one for me.
Francis?
I'd be with Legal Attack here. Half Bird, Bogart and Blaine, who were decent sprinters. Won on debut at Newmarket over 6 furlongs, beating Shark 1-2. Shark 1-2 won the big sales race for the Curran Champions weekend to give a bit of substance to that form. Went to Sean T for a Group 3 the last day. Was beaten 5 lengths in second. The winner Planchart, though, had only been beaten a neck by Fev Rover in a Group 2 prior to that. So that's pretty solid form. And yeah, I think that one will take a bit of beating, to be honest.
1:45 at Newmarket. It is the Zetland Stakes over 10 furlongs. Kyprios in the colours of Moyglare stood for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore tops the market at 7-4, 9-2 Fabulous alongside Lone Eagle, 11-2 Recovery Run and 6-1 and Bigger the Rest. Ruby, not often you see Aidan with these colours, but tops the market here in the Zetland.
No, I'd say it's probably the first horse I can remember for the Moyglare stud farm. Being trained in Ballydoyle, and Kyprios was a good winner in Galway. Flying Visit finished third that day. He went in a stall then and won, even though he tried to throw the race away, Flying Visit. But I thought he was a good second in a competitive nursery yesterday in Turles as well, Flying Visit. I'd say Kyprios' form is pretty strong, and hopefully he's improved from his first start, stepping up to 10 furlongs on his second start, but he got a mile well in Galway, so he should stay, Tom.
Frank?
Yeah, Kyprios, like related to a host of top class horses like Free Eagle and Custom Cut. He's actually a full bird to search for a song, and Falcon 8. So he's bred to be decent, he's bred to get a trip. Even looking at the ratings there, All of the English horses have a rating. Bar the Mark Johnson one, Rosabad, and the highest of any of them is 90. And considering Kyprios beat the Bulger horse,
Flying Visit,
yeah, was touched off 89. Like it just suggests if he steps forward at all of that Galway run, he's going to have these held, isn't he?
220 Newmarket is the Autumn Stakes. One ruler tops it at 130 for William Buick and Charlie Appleby. Van Gogh next in. Ryan Moore and Aidan Bryan 130. Joint favourite. 5-1 Maximal. 6-1 Dahabi. And 15-2 Magellan. 8-1 Bar. Ruby, Van Gogh or Van Gogh?
It depends, Tom. It depends, but you're the more learned man of the three of us, so I would have assumed you would have the answer to that myself. You've been a public school boy and all of that. But Van Gogh, I don't really know, Tom. He's up there, Van Gogh, number 9 in the orange and blue colours, whichever way you want to call him. Will he win or not? I don't know. He's second to Cadillac in Leopardstown. He won a maiden the last day. Maybe that could be good enough. I don't think it is. One ruler stepping up in trip definitely has a shout. I know Matt Chapman was ticking up Ackman to me earlier. Ackman even. He really liked him and thought it was significant that Jim Crowley was going for him over Quadar. But I think one ruler, William Buick, has gone for him over Dahabi, and that would do me.
130, the top two, Frank. Can you see either one of them edging towards a clear favourite?
Not really. It's trappy enough. I'd be with Matt Chapman and Ackman. Now, I don't know, was it much of a race he won at Ascot? The second and third are rated about 80. And yeah, they're probably not going to rate much higher looking at them. But he was very impressive. He knew his job. He was clued in and out to the front. And he just went away from them very easily. He looks like he's going to be useful. I didn't think the rest, there was a superstar in him on the rest of them. I just, the year Hand is having with a his 2-year-olds in particular, yeah, I think this one might be a little bit of value at around the 10-1 mark.
255 Newmarket. It is the Darley Dewhurst Stakes, and it is a belter. Chindit tops the betting 5-2. Thunder Moon 11-4 next in. Alchemy 13-2. 10-1 Al Bashir alongside Wembley 11-1. Cadillac 12-1. Etonian alongside 5,000-1. 14-1 St. Mark's Basilica and 33-1 and bigger the rest. Ruby, Coolmore, you'd imagine after buying Woot and Bassett, they'll be shouting for Chindit.
They definitely won't be giving out about him winning anyway, Tom, although I'm sure they would prefer to see Wembley or St. Mark's Basilica get home in front. It's an absolutely cracking contest. I know Richard Hannon is raving about Chindit, about a bit of work he's done during the week, and Pat Dobbs has gone for him instead of Etonian, which has probably meant that Etonian has doubled in price purely because of a jockey booking. I'm not sure you can read that much into that. Pat Dobbs can only ride one. He's going for the one he thinks is best, but if you're an Etonian fan, as you probably are, Tom, all your click going there, I wouldn't put you off it. I am most certainly in the Thunder Moon camp. I think he did incredibly well to get out of where he was and to win the National Stakes. I thought it was a hell of a performance. The turn of foot he showed in the last furlong. I know Lucky Vega's let the form down a little bit in Newmarket since, but I thought Thunder Moon looked something special when I saw him in at the Curragh. I know he's in stall 5. He's completely the opposite side of the track to Chindit, but he'd be the one for me. And I can't believe Cadillac, after watching him win the maiden in Leopardstown, is going to start 11-1 in a 2-year-old race this year.
It is mad when you see it. Frank, what do you think about the Dewhurst, and could you see Cadillac or something at a big price coming and just giving the top of the market a bit of a fright?
That's a brilliant race. Like, it's very difficult to rule out too many. Like, you know, Alcumet won a Millreef. You've Cadillac has been, you know, very impressive in 2 of his starts. There's just so much depth to this race. I think whatever wins, if something wins, you know, by a length or more, it's going to be a really sharp price for the guineas. I'm in the Chindit camp. We had a massive argument price in the Champagne Stakes. And I foresee we're going to have a similar one, I think, price in this race as well. Chindit, very impressive the first day. The second day, there was a lot of substance to the farm with like Cove and there was St. Lawrence was behind. He won a listed race. Cove won a listed race. The Naval Crownwell okay in a group race in France. Just the form worked out well. But the last day when he beat Al Bashir, he did it with a turn of foot. And the time was very similar to what Wichita ran on the same card, but the section was way faster. Now, for a juvenile to do that against a horse that's rated, I think Washita's rated 117 or 118, marks it down as top class. Richard Hannon, as Ruby's already said, absolutely going wild about him. Apparently, he worked with two older horses rated 100 and destroyed them during the week. Yeah, I'm very excited by him. I think at this moment in time, he's the horse you want to be on for the guineas, and I'm hoping he gets it done. The one small question mark is the ground, but yeah, I think he could be very, very, very good.
3.35 is one of the biggest handicaps of the year. It is the Cesarewitch at Newmarket. Coltrane tops eventing at 8-1 alongside Great White Shark for Willie Mullen. 17-2, Leon Cavallo. 10-1, Not So Sleepy. 14-1, Dalton Highway for DK Weld alongside Diocletian and Lightly Squeeze as well as Mondaine. 16-1, Arthurian Fable, Rock Eagle and Summer Moon. 18-1, Bar. Frank, what are you liking? This is Zarewitch. This is your kind of race.
Oh, six places. I had one on my radar now. I had a good look at the race last week and I had two. One was Sale for Winnie Mullins that wasn't declared. The other was Lightly Squeeze for Harry Fry. After Britannia Blue was pulled out on Wednesday, he only needed one to come out to get a run. He, amazingly, everything stood its ground. He's first reserve. We'll find out at 1 o'clock today if he gets a run. If he does get a run, I would be extremely keen. He's a six-year-old. He's only been with Harry Fry 2 years. When Harry Fry got him, he was rated 75 in the flat and 108 over hurdles. He won three times over hurdles last year. And his mark went up to 137. He was actually leading over the last in the bet for a hurdle when he fell. I'm not saying he would have won, but he definitely would have been the first four or five. His mark's gone up to 140. He was off until a run at Haydock a few weeks ago, over a mile six, looked a lovely prep, travelled really well, just faded out to finish third. The form has worked out well. The winner won next time, the fourth won his next two, the fifth has won twice since. That was off a mark of 87. He's actually gone up to a mark of 79, but his mark was 77. This is an early closer. He's £1 out of the handicap. I really am really keen on him. I just hope to God something comes out. I really do.
That is a Frank Hickey tip-up special if I've ever heard it. And the 10th was second and the 11th was third. Ruby, what do you like in the Cesarewitch?
I think Great White Shark is a great shout for Willie Mullins. She got loose on the way to the start last year with William Buick before the race and still ran well. She's been in really good form. Haven't seen her since she won over hurdles at Galway in July. She's in really good order. And Jason Watts, her rides her, who won the race last year on Stratton. I think Not So Sleepy is a squeak for Hughie Morrison and Graham Lee. If you like your horses to race close to the pace, I'd be having a few quid on Not So Sleepy. And one at a big price down the bottom will be coming from off the pace. I think he doesn't like jumping. He wants to go 3 miles over hurdles. They've been running him over the wrong trip. But I think 2.5 in the flat really suit him is Whirling Dervish.
Whirling Dervish. Very interesting.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Righto, over to Wales we go. Chepstow jumping action, as Ruby mentioned, now a two-day meeting. The first race we're going to look at is the 2.47. It is the Native River Handicap Chase, of course, a former Welsh national winner and Gold Cup winner, Native River. Frank, no betting here. Bally Optic will top the weights. What did you like here, if you could pick one out?
It's a bit of a guessing game knowing what's going to be forward and what's going to be, you know, fully fit. But I'd take a chance and bold mare for Caroline Bailey. Useful novice last year, was pulled up in his reappearance. Small worry that maybe he needs his first run, but he was very impressive in two handicaps subsequently, then at Leicester off 123 and then at Doncaster off 133. And he was going to win the Toten novices chase at whether it be a grade two when he fell at the last about three or four lengths up. He's gone up to a mark of 145, but he's only seven, he's improving, and I think he's a nice horse. Just hoping he's fully fit.
Ruby?
Wouldn't put anybody off Bowen Mir. And just for time of year and what will be forward, yards, etc., Nigel Twist and Davis are always forward. Bally Optic has a lot of weight, but I can't see him improving too much for this race.
How much is that a trend, Ruby, that trainers would always like their horses handy? I know some trainers like it particularly on the flat, but would there be many jump strainers that you kind of always know, yeah, they like him handy or they like him dropped out or any particular style?
You'd see a trend building, probably more so as much with jockeys as horses, but you would see a trend most definitely, yeah. But I meant forward, Tom, as in fit, and Nigel Twiston Davis has usually come out of the stall traps pretty good in the early season.
322 Chepstow is the Dunraven Windows Novices Chase. No betting here again. Fiddler on the Roof, Fusel Raffles, Grand Sensei, Longhouse Sale, and Paint the Dream make up the field. Ruby, what did you like here?
Oh, I love Fiddler on the Roof. I think he's a 2.5 mile horse every day of the week. I think he ran in Supreme last year. I think he should have ran in the Ballymore myself. I know Fusel Raffles has won in Uttoxeter and will be fit. Grand Sensei was 148 rated hurdler. But look, I remember turning up in Chepstow many years ago to ride Sylvia Nacoconti in this very race, and he got beaten by Q-Card. Colin Tizard aims good novices at this race, and Fiddler on the Roof sticks out to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with Ruby at all. He's also one with Finian's Oscar, who was a grade one winner over fences too. Like, I like the way Fusel Raffles...
Did he win a grade one over fences? Jesus.
Did he win? I thought he won one, did he not? Or maybe he was beaten a one. Maybe
he was a nearly horse.
Maybe he was, yeah. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. Did he not win at Aintree? Robbie Power gave him a prize and he beat the mayor of Skelton's.
Definitely won over hurdles, but anyway,
I'll have to check it now, Ruby.
He probably did.
He did, yeah. He beat Renee's girl in the manifesto at Aintree. But like, yeah, I think I'd agree with Ruby, Fiddler on the Roof. Like the other thing as well is Taser's horses weren't going well at Cheltenham either. A lot of them ran below par, so I think you could forgive him that run. He's going to make a very nice novice this year.
Frank Hickey 1, Ruby Walsh 0. 357 at Chepstow is the Wasdell Group Silver Trophy Handicap Hurdle. A big open graded handicap hurdle. Again, no betting. Saint Sonnet will top the weights off 147. A couple of interesting horses in here. Sir Psycho, Calandra, etc. Frank, again, this would be right up your street, wouldn't it? Anything picked out at this stage?
If he fancied Lightly Squeeze in the Cesaro, which he surely fancies it if it runs here.
He's running off 80 in the Cesaro, which is running off 140 here. I'm hoping he doesn't get to run here, but I like Calandra actually for Niamh Holland. He's a very much a cliff horse for me, and he does promise to deliver more than he actually does deliver. But he's running off a mark of 142 here. He's rated 147 over fences, and he has won over hurdles for over 3 years. Last year he was going really well in the what's now going to be again the Paddy Power Gold Cup, when unseating I think 4 out, and he was travelling well in the Browns and Brown Advisory coming into the straight when he lost his action and returned lame. Again, he's off 142, good ground suits him. I can see him travelling into it, hoping hit the frame, and I think it'd be a fair price too.
Ruby, anything for you?
Fix Son, I know he's very disappointing and faking him on his last start, made a bad mistake and didn't recover from that. He was 6-1 on actually when he got beaten that day, if I do remember rightly, but I just think he's a horse that looked a chaser, but Nicky Henderson's going to give him one more shot in a hurdle race, so Fix Son for me.
Fix on for Ruby Walsh. 4:32 at Chepstow. It's the last race we're going to look at here. It is the John Ayres Memorial Handicap Chase. And these are high-class handicap chasers. Creve Hill will top the weights. Casablanca Mix, Maracuja, Spirit of the Games, River Wild, Mont des Avaloir, Garde la Victoire. These are names you will hear throughout all the good handicap chases in the UK through the winter. Ruby, anything sticking out to you at this stage? Again, no market just yet.
No, it's hard to believe Garde la Victoire has ended up down to a mark of 141 in a chase when you saw what he did as a novice hurdler, but that's where he is. Again, it's going to be a fitness thing, isn't it? Harry Skelton has gone for Spirit of the Games. I'd be a bigger fan of Azuri. William Marshall claimed 7 off his back for Dan Skelton. It'd be Azuri for me.
Azuri for Ruby Walsh. Frank?
I thought this was very tricky, yeah. I couldn't really pick one, to be honest. I thought it was a really tricky race.
No problem at all. Sunday's action is next up to get stuck into, and we head back to the Curragh. We've got some good racing there. The first race we're going to look at is the 210. It is the Anglesey Stakes. No betting again here, but 11 go to post. We've had a decent bit of rain over the last while in Ireland, but I'd say it's probably drying out in the Curragh. Ruby, would you know? Have you spoken to anyone who's been there the last few days?
I haven't, but I don't live that far from the Curragh. It is drying out, Tom, but every time it starts to dry, it starts to rain again. But I think looking at the 11 declared in the Anglesey Stakes, not sure it's the strongest renewal of the Anglesey Stakes. Maybe I'm wrong. Anti Bridie of Jim Bulger's would definitely warrant respect. Lady Princess won well first time up, then got beaten, didn't it? Won at Belliestown, got beaten on its second start, and won again the third time. Lady Princess, probably for me, she won at Fairy House after being beaten in Navan. She beat Provocatus, even is the name of it, in Belliestown on the first start. I'd say she's not a bad filly.
Frank?
Yeah, it's a trappy race as well. I'd probably just side with Anti Bridie, but yeah, it's a very tricky race. It's not the best renewal either, I don't think.
240 is the Staffordstown over a mile. Again, no market just yet. Sweet Gardenia is at the top of the ratings at 97. There is 12 in it, so we'll have each way terms here, Frank. But again, it's not the most clear cut, is it?
No. Sweet Gardenia has a penalty from winning a listed race, beating Ontario. If you took that form, literally, she'd have a chance of following up. I'd nearly just, the chance Fantasy Lady could be a handy price because of being beaten twice, but I think she's going to be really suited by a step up to a mile. And yeah, depending on what kind of price you get, if she's double figure price, I'd take a chance on her each way.
Ruby, anything for you?
High heels for me. Second to Shale, one last time up at Cork, the fourth horse, Sacred Rhyme, absolutely bolted it in Thurles on Thursday. High heels for me.
310 at the Curragh on Sunday is the International Stakes over 10 furlongs. We have 10 runners. Frank, anything sticking out to you here? Raise You, Sky 7, Uphelia, Fiscal Rules, Helvic Dream, Monument Valley, Order of Australia, Sunny Boy Liston, Atenia, and Too Soon to Panic. Anything there for you?
Well, if you're going by ratings, Sunny Boy Liston's a massive chance. He's started off winning at Gore and off 68 in June, and he's got a rating of 112. Absolutely bolted up at the Curragh on Champions Weekend in a Premier Handicap. He's going the right way. Etnea was probably a small bit unlucky not to get off the American Group Company in a Group 3 at Gore on the last day. Yeah, I'd probably just go with Sonny Boy Liston. He's such a progressive profile.
I'd agree. He looked like a horse that was really in the wrong grade the last day when he won at the Curragh. That was a Premier Handicap and he made an absolute mockery of it. I think whatever beat Sonny Boy Liston will win.
340 at the Curragh is the Paddy Power Irish Cesarewitch. Frank, I assume extra places coming out your ears. Run for Mary tops the betting at 5-1 for Charles Burns. Shoshone Warrior 6-1 next in. 8-1 Cape Gentleman. 10-1 Golden Spear. 12s Danger Money alongside Catskill Nap and Royal Illusion as well as Tudor City. 14-1 and bigger the rest. Frank, we'll start with you. Anything in the Irish Cesarewitch for you?
Yeah, I'd be very keen on one, but it's not a juicy price. It's just one for Mary for Charles Burns. Sam Ewing takes over. He's a very good young jockey. He's going places. He gets to claim 7 off. But yeah, needed its first run to Curragh in June when only 92 was 14 to 16, beat 19 lengths. Won at Belliestown then off a mark of 80. Went to Galway. Was second, beating the length of the quarter off mark of 85 by subsequent Group 1 winner Princess Zoe. Actually, has been dropped a pound for that. So it's only off a £1 lower mark. The third and fourth battled out a Premier Handicap at Killarney subsequently as well to fight that form even further and just looked so well handicapped off 84 with Sam Ewing taking 7 off. Be very disappointed if this doesn't be involved in the finish.
Ruby?
Cape Gentleman for me. I know Willie Mullins has a couple of runners, Royal Illusion and Catskill Nap, and they're both in great form and they'll run the races. But I thought Cape Gentleman on his first start for Emmett Mullins ran a cracking race in Listowel when he was second to Mount Leinster. The third horse, Arcadian Sunrise, absolutely bolted it in the 2 mile maiden in Thurles on Thursday. Ronan Whelan rides, I think, Cape Gentleman for me.
Down to Limerick, some good jumping there. The 1 o'clock is the Bluegrass Horsefields Novice Hurdle, which is a listed race. Ruby, tell us about the novice hurdles, the kind of black type novice hurdles this time of the year. Are they kind of easy to pick up sometimes? Some of the horses that are fit from the summer can come in and surprise other big trainers, maybe?
Yeah, but you got to remember as well, Tom, this is coming only just over 2.5 weeks after the Stole. So the horses that contested the 2.5 mile novice hurdle in the Stole, which was on the, I can't remember what day it was, it was on the Saturday. So it's literally only 2 weeks and a day since the 2 mile novice hurdle in the Stole. Finest Evermore won that. This race is just coming too soon for her to turn up in again. This race, if it was in 10 days' time, would be 3 times stronger because you would include horses that have won in the Stole. It just comes too close to the Stole. It's poor programming.
Anything standing out to you in it?
Schlieg Dala, I thought, did well to win the last end. He'll probably get home here again.
Frank?
I thought Commanding Presence was absolutely put up a monster performance on first start for Henry de Bromhead at Punchestown, winning by 15 lengths. How good a race it was, I'm not sure. The third, Faye Desch, is rated 116. She's beaten that 15 lengths. And
that's what Schlieg Dala beat, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Robinia, she's come out and won easily at Punchestown since for Whitty. Like, you know, if you take that form literally, it's probably going to be hard to beat. I would have thought, but yeah.
Half two at Limerick is the Colleen Allen Mayor's Hurdle, another listed race. This is interesting. Ruby, I know you're a fan of my sister Sarah, and she'll probably be short on ratings. There could be one or two that might give her something to think about. If Soren could come back to some sort of old form.
I think Soren's in the beginner's chase in Ferry House on Saturday. I'm pretty sure she is declared in that. And Jack
She's
Kennedy
jumped
rides
up here now with Davy Russell.
Yeah, I see Davy Russell on it, but I think she actually runs on Saturday. So keep an eye on that, folks. She's into the beginner's chase there as well. Brogeen, Ellie Mack, Lahache, my sister Sarah is the one for me all day long. Second to Grey White Shark in Galway over hurdles. Has run on the flat since. Was second to the Storyteller in Galway over hurdles as well. Triple suitor, trackle suitor, groundle suitor. Yeah, she'll win.
Frank?
Very difficult to oppose her. I would be looking to take her on against that field.
Simple as simple does. Onwards to the main event on Sunday at 4 o'clock. It is the JT McNamara Munster National. Moy Henna tops the betting for Dennis Hogan, 5-1. Dallas the Picton next in, 6s, 8-1. Dr. Duffy, 10-1. Go Another One and Walk Away, 16-1. And Bigger the Rest. Frank, we'll start with you. You'll surely have one at a price here for us.
I'd probably get two. Well, you probably have to have something on internal transfer after the Stole. He really does like Limerick. And though he did disappoint in the race last year when pulled up when 4-1 favourite, he's off a pound lower here. I think he's a big enough price as well. I think he might be 14 or 16-1. And the other one then from a handicapping perspective is Walk Away. Has 3 starts over fences last year, was second to Faheen, was well beaten at Leopardstown behind Easy Game, and was third to Alaho and Milan Native at Fairy House. I think he's fairly handicapped off a mark of 136. When you go back to his fourth in a grade one over hurdles at Aintree, he was behind Champ, Emma Tom, and Listenagar Oscar. Champ won the RSA, Listenagar Oscar won a Stairs Hurdle, and Emma Tom was fourth at Stairs Hurdle. I'd be surprised he's not well handicapped off 136.
Yeah, I would agree with Frank there. Walk Away, an eternal transfer for me. I think plenty of these had too hard a race in the Kerry National. Mortal, Dr. Duffy, My Hannah, The West Awake. At least eternal transfer fell early enough that he didn't have a hard race. Again, this race is pretty open. It's a good contest, but Walk Away, an eternal transfer, I'd be on the same two horses.
And to cap things off on Sunday, I won't ask you for a tip in it, but the spectacle that is the Parada Beachy is on it'll be on Racing TV on Sunday at 3:40. Ruby, you rode in the race a couple of times, had mixed experiences, but it, I believe never been, but it's supposed to be an incredible occasion, is it, over there?
I rode in the race once, Tom. I got to the fifth, I think. jumped to Texas, which is the fourth, then the bank, the fifth. No, I went to the sixth fence the year I rode, and then the following year I went back to ride there. I broke my leg in the race beforehand. So, no, I don't have great memories of the part of the beach, to tell you the God honest truth. I'm looking down through the runners here, Tom, and I'm sure as hell glad you don't want a tip, because I have never heard of any of them. Theophilus, Jim Bulger might have bred that. Josef Vanna is training half the field, which is pretty normal. He's not riding it himself anymore now that he's almost 70, but I'd be surprised if Josef Vanna doesn't win it. I'm looking for Jan Valtacek, rides number 17. Tizig, I don't know how you even pronounce that. I'm going to tip 17.
There you
go. Zige in the Burley.
Zige in the Burley. Very good. Right, oh, time for best bets of the weekend. Frank, we will start with you. What is your best bet of the weekend?
Likely squeeze if it gets into Cesaro, which if it doesn't, I'll go to Fairy House for the 205, the novice chase over 2.5 miles, and put up Court Maid. She was a useful hurdler, but she was very impressed in her chase debut at Galway over 2.6 miles. Absolutely hammered Dr. Duffy that day. Dr. Duffy's gone on and won the Mayo National and was third in the Kerry National. I think she could be quite useful over fences.
Court Maid for Frank Hickey. If Lightly Squeeze doesn't get into the Cesarewitch, Ruby, what do you like?
I think that Queensbrook will win the 3.15 at Fairy House tomorrow. Fiddler on the Roof will win the 3.22 at Chepstow tomorrow. And on Sunday, Mount Leinster will win the 4.10 at the Curragh.
There you go. The Ruby Wallace treble. If that comes in, we mightn't see you on Monday.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Lads, before you go, well, we've just one quick question, really. Nick Schneider asks on social media, when does Frank prefer to place a bet to get the best value? Ante post or when the market opens, or wait to see if there are any market movers due to conditions, etc.?
It depends. Like, as in, it depends, really. Like, as in, I was looking at the Cesarewitch last weekend, picked out Lightly Squeeze, waited till Monday to see what way it was going to shape up, if he'd get a run, and if, as soon as Hayley Turner was booked, I went and backed it, because I just thought, if this gets in, I couldn't see it going off 20-1. I thought it had a chance of going off a single figure price potentially if it did get in. But it completely depends. There's other races then when you kind of might wait and just see what the ground's going to be like, see who's riding, and just wait for decks to see what the opposition's going to be like. But when you're looking at something like the Cesarewitch, and if you just think you're on one that's going to collapse in price, I'll try and get on early.
Very good. Righto, that's all we've got time for, lads. Thanks indeed. And Ruby will talk to you on Monday. Frank will talk to you next Friday.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Nice weekend, lads.
Thank you very much. Righto, that's all we've got time for on this week's show. No. Righto, that's all we've got time for on this Friday's show. But make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers and the Ruby Walls treble on paddypower.com. My thanks, as always, to Ruby and Frank. And thanks to you for listening. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent. And that has been From the Horse's Mouth. Speak to you on Monday.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.